Okay. I'm not driving. I just, this is the only place I get alone.
That's fine.
I'm having trouble separating feelings from facts.
Or thoughts from facts? You mean?
Like, yes. Feelings from thoughts from facts. Okay. So the fact is that virtual learning sucks. The fact is that my kids don't listen to me. The fact is that...
Whoa. So that we can make sure you're real clear. Virtual learning does not suck because you're virtually learning right now.
High school is hard.
That's high school and not a fact. Like, let's get real clear on your facts. High school is a fact. We could all agree that building is a high school. It being hard is your thought about that school.
Well, the thought is that high school and middle school with kids with ADHD when you're a parent with ADHD is difficult.
Yeah, that's your thought. And so that will cause you to feel what? So you feel what when you think that?
Well, I feel shame and I feel frustration.
Yeah. Shame is probably coming from, I shouldn't think like that, or that's wrong, that's where shame will always come from. Usually, I have a thought about something and I don't like that I think that. And so that ends up becoming like a whole nother pile of shit.
They're also both my middle schooler and my high schooler are failing all of their classes. I sit next to them literally all day, every day. But I can't force them to type. I can't force them to submit assignments. I can't physically force them to do the work. So there is much fighting every day.
Well,
so there is a lot of shame with I'm failing them or this, and that. Those feelings obviously are not constructive.
Right.
I don't know how I can fix them. I don't know how I can rethink better.
I can help you rethink it, but I think the first thing, like your first level of work, is to stop punishing yourself for how you think and feel about your situation. So like when we think about getting some relief, because I think what you want to do is feel better, right? I mean, that's what all of us want.
Yeah.
So
First
is always to take away the emotional suffering you're applying to yourself that you don't need, which is shaming yourself for how you're thinking. Like allowing yourself to be like, these are my thoughts. Like, this is how I think about my kids. This is how I'm thinking about, you know, the world, the circumstances, the high school, the ADHD. And that's okay. I don't have to be ashamed of that part. I just want to be aware of it now. Because if you're ashamed of your thinking, here's what ends up happening. We turn off our thinking and we eat, so that if we turn off the thinking and thinking about our thinking, we also turn off the shame. It's a long way to go to feel better about ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's not constructive or helpful for you.
Yeah. None of what I'm feeling lately is constructive. It's deconstructive. It's destructive. And I don't know how to, I guess, ladder up the feeling from the kind of pity shitty feeling to a better, it's not physically my fault that they're failing. I have done absolutely everything that I can as a parent.
Why are you not just thinking that then? You already know what you need your ladder up thought is when you're trying to act like this is like, I can't do this. I can't, like you said, I can't physically make them do this and I can't do all this. I think you think that's a fact. That's your thoughts about what's happening. Like you choose not to, and that's okay. Like, I'm not going to physically make my kids do this, and that's okay. But I mean, you just gave me several thoughts that are probably very constructive. It's why are you just not using them more often?
Okay.
Like when you say, like, I've done, like, I know, like, at a, let me ask you this, Laura, do you really believe, like, without, if you weren't self-loathing and all the things, right, and confused and wanting to feel better, if we just set all that aside for a minute and we're just going to talk honestly, do you feel like you show up for your kids? Like, do you really feel like, yeah, I'm doing all I can?
My whole life is showing up for them. I don't have anything of myself that isn't them. And I do everything I possibly can for them to give them everything that they need or really want.
That's
so I'm doing everything I can.
That's the thinking that you need to raise the bar on. Like, you know what to think. I think the problem is that you have all this other stuff coming in. And I think you just don't want that to come in. That's not how it works. All of those thoughts are going to be running around. Your job is to amplify this thinking. Like when that chaos starts in your brain, you say, but here's also the truth. I do everything for my kids. I show up 100%. I know at a deep level, I'm doing all that I can. That counterbalances the shit with compassion for yourself. Okay. I think the compassion for yourself is what's really missing. Because we're not going to be able to take away all the old crappy thoughts. We just need more of this going on at the same time.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've been trying to replace the old shitty and that's not working. So
yeah, I think that's the thing that all of you guys need to, I think when y'all hear me tell you, you've got to replace old shitty, you've got to change your thought and stuff, I think you guys think then that equals he goes away. No, it's so that he's not the only voice in the room.
Okay.
It's like, I can have an old shitty thought and feel bad, but I also can have a new one and feel relief at the same time.
Okay.
That's the magic. We want to get to where we're holding both. And I promise you, like, way down the road, like far off in the distance, the more you talk to yourself about you being a good mom and you doing all the things and you get better at spotting when you're talking about things in a way that's making it just harder for you to get through your day, the more you do that over time, your perspectives start shifting because your brain starts looking for these new truths you keep telling it. It will start finding more perspective shifts for you. But in the first part, you have to train your brain that there's other things to think about. And this is some of the things that we're going to purposely think about, you know, in the moments when little old shitty comes in the door.
Okay.
Go back through module 2 of No BS. Okay. Module 2 of No BS. That's where where I explain the think, feel, do cycle. We also have in March, we're releasing a brand new course on, it's all about journaling, like how how do you get a little deeper? How do you release the fear of going deep? One of the things we're going to teach is the differences between our facts and our thoughts. We're going to do a really good video for all of you on that. But the big thing to remember is that a fact will have no feelings attached to it.
Okay.
When you really boil it down, like if I just said, hey, Laura, high school, there's a building, it's red. You wouldn't be feeling bad. You just notice it. But if I said, hey, Laura, there's that high school that's failing my child. A lot of us might agree with that, but it feels like shit. So always remember that something feeling true doesn't mean it's a fact. It just means it feels very true to you because you believe it, but that doesn't make it true. And that's when you find those thoughts, when you find things that feel very true, but also feel bad, those are the ones you just pull one out a day. Don't try to solve your Jenga puzzle in a, you know, in a flash. Just pull one. Like, let's take high school virtual. Let's take virtual learning sucks. There's a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're
that's what I feel a lot.
Yeah. And if you're going to have to do virtual learning for a while, then you are either going to have to decide to think differently so that you don't feel shitty for a while, or you're going to like need to feel, you're going to be like, oh, well, I'm all in feeling like shit. I'm not changing my thought. We change the thinking for our own benefit.
Okay.
So like, what is a potential way that feels doable that when your brain is like, ugh, this virtual learning sucks. What is like one little shift to that, that you can make to give yourself some relief?
Okay.
What do you think?
I mean, I guess maybe we're fortunate that I am home and able to help them with their learning. It's hard, but I'm there.
And I think that that's a good one. It's like, think about this. You can acknowledge like virtual learning feels really hard right now, and that's okay. Like I like to add to a lot, like virtual learning sucks is something I'm thinking, and that's okay. Like what it does is it allows you patience for where you're at. And then like when you do that enough, then you'll get to where you'll start thinking like, well, you know, at least I'm home. You know, you'll have your moments where your brain will want to go to work on, you know, leveling a little bit up out of it more naturally rather than trying to force it all the time.
Okay. Okay.
How do you feel?
Okay. That makes sense. I think I can do that. I can, because virtual learning is hard, but that's okay. This is hard for everybody. And that's okay. Because it will end and it'll be okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I think that's something we all have to remember. I was talking to somebody the other day about, I forget who I was talking to, but when you're in the middle of it, it feels like it's real easy for you to think it's never going to end. And I looked at the person, I said, you really think in 2 years, like, I don't remember who I was talking to. I said, you really think we won't figure this out? We're not going to figure out how to have events and put our kids back in school. I mean, we're still trying to get humans to Mars. I'm pretty sure that humans will figure out how to be together again on this planet before we even land over there. Like, we're going to figure this out. You know,
let's plan on that.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think it's so easy for us to go to thinking that this is never going to end and it's going to be so long and everything. It's like, this will end. You know, in 10 years, we're all going to be looking back on this and laughing at ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, we'll probably be in some other bullshit in 10 years thinking, oh, COVID was so easy. At least we were all home. Like somebody, some asshole is going to say shit like that. And the rest of us are going to be like, what? But that's how we always know. Perspective is up to our brains.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, good luck.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's see. Did my girl ever come, Tiffany? Tiffany, there you are. Hopefully for all of you parents, one of the nice things about being here, guys, with community is in the chat is for all the parents that are struggling. If you have a question, there's a lot of teachers in the chat right now who probably be very happy to give you a tip or two. So ask for some help over there. Y'all should ask for help in the group too, because it's, you know, I wish I could give you, I'm one of the fortunate ones. My son thrives in the virtual learning. I think he's doing better virtually than he did in person. He could be back in school right now. We've opted to keep him home because he's just doing so well. I'm like, we're not taking him until they make us. So there's always that, you know, every kid is different. Hey, Tiffany. All right, let's go. So you'll need to tell everybody where we're at because I just happened to see your Facebook post and
And that was because of my husband. He said, hey, reach out and see, is there anybody out there in your PNP group, like a subgroup that is also going through diabetes and managing that and being on a strict diet?
All right. We got to quit calling it strict, first of all, because one of the things that you were talking about was how you're feeling deprived and stuff.
Yes.
That's coming from, first and foremost, how you're thinking about this.
I know.
Call it a strict diet, or you could call it what I'm eating now to save my life.
I know. I keep doing that. And I told him too, I said, well, this is going to save my life. So I have to eat like this to save my life.
No,
like,
you don't. You don't have to. I'm going to hammer you on language because your Facebook post. So everybody knows why we're doing this. Her Facebook post was all about. So let me just pull it up.
Okay, go ahead.
No, you're fine. She had lost a lot of weight. So
yeah. So I've been doing PNP now for 2 years, two and a half years now. I lost 62 pounds.
Yes.
And I reversed diabetes. I reversed high blood pressure and I reversed the fatty liver. I was doing fantastic.
Well, let's just say I am doing fantastic.
I am.
Let's quit talking about it like it's in the past.
You know, and I'm type A personality here, Corinne. So I like am a perfectionist and I like push myself super hard. And I know that I need to stop doing that. I've been working on that. It's been a lot of thought work around that. But to see myself go backward instead of forward, and that's how it feels. I've gained 10 back.
I want you to just think that 10-pound gain. All right. So this is what I want to find out, though, with the 10-pound gain. I know you had to go on medications, and you said the medications has caused this 10-pound gain, correct?
They've been fluctuating the medication. He finally put me on one that doesn't cause weight gain because I had a conversation with him.
Okay. But so that's what I want to find out. So there's no asshole eating going on.
It's no.
Literally the medication, correct?
Well, yeah, it's medication. Yeah.
So I want you to listen to the way you described yourself. I'm going backward. I was all this other stuff. You aren't going backward. You're taking a med that caused a 10-pound gain. How are you going backward?
Because I'm not being strict enough.
That's not how. Tell me how.
I know.
You got to be like, what'd you learn on your 62-pound journey? To be strict?
No, actually, and that's the part that's really pissing me off is that on your plan, I could eat whatever I wanted. I just didn't eat like an asshole. I did Kathy method. I was doing my water and everything.
Quit saying was. Are you no longer drinking water?
No, I am. No, okay. I'm and doing then, all the things.
Exactly. Right. But you're not talking about it like that.
No,
you're acting as if this 10-pound gain was you face down in Twinkies and you're out of control.
No, I'm not out of control.
But that is the way you're talking about it. I was doing what I was doing. Another. You took a med that caused a 10-pound gain, period.
Yeah.
Dead stop. Everything that is after that is cleaning up your thoughts about all of it. Like, first, we have to quit acting like, you know, I'm not strict enough. That had nothing to do with the 10-pound gain. That was the meds needing to get adjusted. You can think about it like that, or you can think about like, well, I wasn't strict enough. It's like, no, you know what? Sometimes, you know, the version of you who loses all of her weight and the version of you who figures out diabetes has to go through the part where she's patient, kind, loving, and focused while her meds get straightened out.
Right.
And that's what we've got to get going on in your head, because right now you're like saying, oh my God, I gained 10 pounds from a med. And that means that I no longer can do anything and no BS anymore. I can't, why can't you do the Kathy method?
I am.
What does that have to do with what's on your plate?
Well, exactly. The Kathy method doesn't work when I just want to eat everything because it's all vegetables. No, it does work.
That's what the Kathy method is for. It's for when you want to eat everything. What the fuck are you even saying out loud?
I know, but I want to eat like, you know, like it's like when I'm done eating my big ass salad and an hour later, I'm hungry again. Like, I'm just like, no, you really shouldn't be eating more and more. And then I want to eat all the things I'm not supposed to. And that's the really like the part, and I've been really good with it, but I want my carbs back. I want my meat back. I want, you know, I want what I was doing before. And
right. And right now you need to quit saying that you can't do it. You need to say right now I'm choosing not to. You have to quit talking about it like you're some victim. You know, if you really want meat and carbs,
I feel like a victim. Go,
right. And it sucks, right? And you're a victim of your own thinking. You're a victim of your thinking about all of it.
Okay.
It's your fault.
So it's not my, yeah, that's how I feel. It's my fault. My body is failing me.
I mean, your feelings are your fault, not your body.
I know.
Oh my gosh. I'm not wrecking your brain. We got to work on you. You need to do a serious download. You are an obese woman who lost 62 pounds. You know how to clean up your thinking. Because you did it on the way down.
I did.
This is how you thought about everything you were doing. I like this. Tell me the thoughts you had about when you were doing, when you were like, I can eat whatever I want.
This is fun. This doesn't have to be hard.
Right, this doesn't have to be hard. Yeah. That's the thought that I want you using like a boss around your plant-based diet right now. This doesn't have to be hard. Where am I making this hard right now?
Okay.
Like thinking that my body has failed me. It's like, no, my body has some diabetes right now and we're figuring that out.
Okay.
Your body gave you a big clear signal that it needs meds.
Yeah.
You know, here's how our bodies fail us. When they don't send signals and they just drop dead. That's your body failing you.
That's true. I guess because I thought I had beat this. I thought that I had done all this work. I lost 62 pounds. I had reversed everything. I was on the right track. And then how I feel that my body failed me is that I was doing everything right. And now even doing everything right, it's sending signals I need medication. And the only way to get off the medication, the doctor said, because I'm pretty headstrong on that, I don't want to be on meds, is go plant-based then and completely clean up.
This is where you're falling into victim mentality. It's like, you just need to say, like, I don't want to be on meds. And if it means a plant-based diet, I choose that. Not the doctor made me. The doctor's not making you do shit. No, the doctor is saying, I'll give you pills if you want them, or you can have a plant-based diet, but it's your choice. And you're not thinking about it like it's a choice. You're thinking about it like, my body's failed me. I'm going to have to do all these things. It's like, it's a no. Yeah. The reason why you're going to do plant-based is because you are headstrong. You know what you want in your life. And if the meds is not it, this right now is the answer.
Yeah.
You've got to like really listen to yourself. Yes.
You're right. I do. And then the other flip side of this is my cortisol levels are super high. I'm like off the roof with stress. And I know that's because I'm a special ed teacher. I'm a special ed teacher. I'm an active duty military spouse. We're moving to Okinawa in the fall. I've got my mom living with me.
I want you to remember. None of that causes stress.
Okay.
You're thinking about all of it. Like you just listed off some stuff. And I'm like, all right, but what is stressful about it? Being an active duty military wife. That's not stressful. Well, it's not stressful until you start thinking bullshit about it.
Right.
That's for you.
I can choose happiness and joy. And just like I choose happiness and joy in every stations we go to, whether it's a great place or not. Every place I go to, there's beautiful aspects of it. So you're right. It's a mind game that I need to shift my thinking into. These things are stressful, or I'm stressed out about these things, when I can choose to look at the positives in them.
That's wonderful. I do think we need to look at the positives and stuff, but you need to understand, like all of you, please hear me. This is the second person I'm coaching on this. Everybody wants, like they'll say, I feel bad. and I've got something I'm blaming for it, but I want to feel good. So I'm going to go create a bunch of new thoughts. Before you even understand fully and take responsibility for the thoughts you're generating that create the bad feeling to begin with, slapping happy thoughts on something you are choosing to believe right now that's stressful never works. If we don't look at why do I think being a military wife is stressful? Why do I think my mother living with me is stressful? Why do I think, and you start making those lists and you start noticing sentence. And every single one of them, you have to take it in and say like, okay, it's going to be really hard for me to accept, but this is my thinking. This isn't the truth. And if it equals stress, I need to just really own, like, that's the cause of my stress. When your brain makes the connection that your thinking is causing the stress and your thinking is causing the strict, the thinking is causing you to feel like a failure, the thinking is causing all of this, you are motivated at that point to want to say, like, well, let me question that. Do I really want to hang on to that thinking? Is there anything else that could be true about this? And that's when it starts snowballing, like when you really do that examination. But most of you, including you, Tiffany, are stuck right now because you're not taking complete ownership yet of how you're thinking. You're telling your stories just like they're truths.
Okay. So then let's take being a special needs teacher right now, since there's a lot of teachers out there going through this. Being a special needs teacher right now is incredibly stressful. Being a teacher is, because they're always changing the game.
Okay. So the thought is they are always changing the game. Yeah. That's what's stressful. Not being a special ed teacher is. That's right. Never stressful.
Right. It's all the aspects of being in the job during a pandemic. So
it's like, listen to me, slow it down.
Okay.
The aspects of my job, you'll have like things that you do, and then you'll have thoughts about each one of them. You're trying to keep saying, you're trying to tell me in 1,000 different ways that my job is stressful is a fact.
Okay.
I have a job, Corinne, and I feel really stressed, and I know why, because of all of these thoughts I have about it. Like, they're constantly changing the game.
Okay.
Let's just work on that one.
Okay.
Is it true that they are constantly changing the game?
Well, they've changed it 3 times now. So I guess it's not constant.
So here's, right, exactly. So that's where we start managing our brain. The next level thought for you is like, well, Tiffany, I know you're stressed out because you keep thinking they're constantly doing. It's actually only been 3 times. Like, you settle your brain down to it, like, no, it's not that it's constant. It's been 3 times. How do I want to think about 3 changes versus constant changing?
Yeah, right. And it feels like constant because it's like, first we start off with distance, then it's
constant.
Then we're AB, and now we're
arguing for your pain. You're literally sitting there going like, let me explain why I feel terrible. And let me get you to agree so I can sit around and be so stressed out that I gave myself diabetes again.
Okay.
Like, let's stop doing that.
You're right.
You arguing for why things are stressful gets you diabetes and medication.
I know.
The result sucks. Let's quit doing that part. So here's what we do. We stop trying to prove why it feels constant. We start looking for, how do I want to feel about it? If I know there's going to be changes, what do I want to be thinking when changes come? Right now, I'm coming up with in the moment thoughts based on me thinking it's constant and terrible and stressful and hard that will always generate a garden of weeds for me. Okay. So we have the first one, which is it's three changes. Did you handle it? I mean, or did you just like, I quit?
Nope, I handled it.
All right, why are we not just thinking that? They made changes, I handled it.
Damn, that sounds so much better.
Yeah, it's boring as fuck too. It's like, yours is like, everybody get your popcorn Your water, we're going to the movies.
You're absolutely right. They made three changes. I handled it. If they make another one, I'll handle it.
Yeah. And this is the thing. This can be the thought. If they make another one, I might not like it, but I always know I handle it.
Yeah.
I ain't going anywhere. Right. I might as well just handle it a lot less dramatically. I probably just should handle it without a lot of bitching and moaning because I just feel bad. Because here's what we also know. Everybody's bitching and moaning doesn't make them stop making changes.
Yeah.
So you're the only one that's being affected.
You're absolutely right.
All right. I'm not going to coach you on your food. Talk to your doctor about the food.
Okay.
I just want you in the space of knowing, like, you probably are going to have some hunger. But so does every no BS woman.
Well, and like you've always said, this is a journey. And I'm learning what's working and what's not. And clearly right now, what's going on is not, I need to kind of adjust what I'm eating. Maybe I am lacking protein. I don't know. So those are things that I can talk to my doctor about.
For sure.
But I got that part down. Mm-hmm. It's this that I need to get down. So
more writing, right? I would spend a good 10 minutes journaling each morning. I would just write, especially if stress is your big thing right now, yeah. I would spend time just writing, like, you know, here's the day ahead of me. I'm likely to think these things that cause stress and just write them down and let your brain, the nice thing about what we call paper thinking, you pour out the contents of your brain on the paper. It gives you something to look at. Your brain will automatically feel relief just in that because it's not just rolling in there. Take a look at it and don't judge it and don't think you shouldn't be thinking these things and don't think that this is bad or blah, 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 blah.
Right.
More and more of you will feel better if you'll just allow yourself to see what you think and just like, and that's okay. Yeah. My brain's like a mess, just like everybody else's at times. And I'm glad that I'm looking at it. And then take one or two of those thoughts and just say, like, is there anything that I could think today that would put a little bit more ease into my day versus stress?
Yeah.
If you do that in the morning, it primes your brain for the rest of the day to look for a little bit more ease. Mm-hmm. Right now, what's happening is it's so believing your story. Just like a really good example of what happened is, you know, the constant changes when I was trying to like get you into just three, because you believe that they're constant and that equals stress.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted like, no, Corinne, I need to tell you these three. Let me tell you how the three changes were. Like your brain was just like, I'm so searching for this to be a problem.
Yes.
That I'm even willing to argue to feel bad about it. And that's what happens when we're not deliberate with our thinking. So when you do that, your brain will get it will start looking for ways that like it'll spotlight through your days areas where you're probably missing that there actually is something good. There is something easy, something like isn't stressful today. Like those things will start popping up and you'll see them more and that will feel better.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I'm glad you got on the call.
Yes, I am too. And I just want to thank you. I wouldn't have gotten this far. I mean, I did all the work. I know that. But you are a godsend and truly. And I really could not have gotten this far without some direction. And you helped me through a lot already. I've gone through all of this as a groupie to now a member. And now I'm actually seeing your face and talking to you. I'm always the one kind of behind the scenes, soaking in everything that you're teaching, but not raising my hand because I'm just learning so much just by listening. You called me out today. And I think that was God ordained, honestly. So thank you very, very much for everything that you're doing for so many people. It's
thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you. Okay. Well, good luck. I know you can do this. Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Jackie. D. She said, our BS side of our brains wants to win an Oscar with all of our BS thought drama. That's what it feels like. It's just like, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I didn't think I was going to make it on. I wanted to talk to you. I I joined in June of 2019, and I have gained 30 pounds since I joined.
Okay.
And I did the Regain workshop yesterday. Mm-hmm. And the thought that I am stuck on is that it is like, I completely effed this up, and this is my fault. And all this thought work I should have done when I was 30 pounds down, because I had another 20 pounds I wanted to lose. And now I have 50 pounds I want to lose. And I just feel like such a failure. I'm just really, really angry with myself. Like, it's nobody else's fault. It's like COVID was, I was already on my way up before COVID started. So it's like, I have nobody, there's nothing that I blame except my own choices, but I can't seem to get past the feeling like a failure piece to just kind of move on and start.
How do you, let me ask you this. So you do know though, that being pissed, like, let me ask you this, being pissed and angry and all that kind of stuff, you do know it's just not helpful, right? Or do you think you need to be? Because sometimes people think they need to be, and we have to work on that. Or is it a matter of, I know that's not helpful, but I can't quit thinking about it?
I do think there's part of me that needs to be that way, because I think that's how I push myself to do things that I don't want to do. Because I definitely have issues with anxiety, and my way of working through that my whole life is just, you have it, just keep going, just do it anyway.
But that's not being pissed at yourself and angry.
Well, right. Yeah.
That's why I'm asking. Like, we have to be real careful when we think that being angry at ourselves is a motivator, because almost all, like, I've never seen anyone be able to prove to me that their anger was the motivator for their success. At some point,
I guess
you have a thought like, do it anyway. That's not an angry thought.
Yeah. No, I guess it's just that I feel like every day I get up, I make my plan, I've started journaling about what my day is going to look like and what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then I can't seem to, like, first of all, I have a hard time with the realistic planning. And I know that, because I feel like if I put down, it doesn't seem to matter what I put down and how much food I put on there. I always seem to eat something that's not on there or drink extra wine or whatever it is.
Probably to get away from that angry, pissy, frustrated version of you.
Yeah.
This is why I tell you guys, like, you could put 400 pizzas on your plan with a scoop of ice cream on top every single day. But if you are angry at yourself and frustrated, you're going to need to turn the voice down. You'll do it by, like, getting distracted, breaking a plan and doing all that kind of stuff so that you can just get away from yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm at the point, I can't even look in the mirror anymore. And so I am really angry at myself for letting.
Thank you, froze up.
Where I joined was,
hang on 1 second, you're all frozen. You're frozen.
Sorry, is that in?
I think we're both frozen. Okay, are you back?
Can you turn that off for a second? I'm
yeah, I can hear you now. I think the biggest thing right now, the hardest thing for you right now, is going to be deciding to think about where you want to go. And thinking more about who you want to be and deciding where you want to go, because right now you're spending all of your time obsessed with what didn't happen, what you should have been doing, blah, 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 blah. That energy is never going to help you make better choices for yourself. You cannot hate yourself into figuring this out. None of you can. So I think we lost her. But let me just tell you what my advice for this is. Guys, one of the reasons why I teach you have to really dial into your thinking is because of an example like this. When you're angry, you eat over it. When you're frustrated, you'll eat over it, because those shameful thoughts you have about yourself, you will want to get away from it. And the problem is you guys are, not willing to tell yourself new stories about yourself to get away from shameful thoughts. You're going to eat to get away from shameful thoughts. It does not work. And I will just tell you, Jackie, like the hardest thing for a lot of you when you're caught in frustration and shame and stuff is truly making a real doable plan, because you will think it's not good enough, because you'll think that is not going to get me out of my misery fast enough. But the misery isn't around your weight, and the misery isn't around the 30-pound gain. The misery is coming from the way you talk to yourself about all of it. If you want to get out of misery, you don't have to lose a pound to do that yet. We can get out of misery today. We don't need to lose 30 to not be miserable. We have to change how you're thinking about all of it today. And I guarantee you, if you're miserable with yourself, when you're writing your plan, you're writing it from misery. I'm sure you're writing it and being like, okay, I hope I can do this today. Tell me about it. Let me unmute you. Are you there?
Yeah, I think there's, yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I do think there's some that plan accountability partner has said to me. She's like, you're telling me what you're going to eat. And you're like, well, I'm going to try eating this today. You're going to try doing this today. And she's like, you don't sound in any way happy about it. Even when it's foods that are like, you know, I'm going to go to Taco Bell today or whatever, because I just don't think it's going to work. Like, I don't know. I do the journaling, but I feel like I'm going through the motions without really thinking, without really changing the thought. Those thoughts are so strong about, you know, you're never going to do this. Like,
well, that's going to have to be your first step, though. You're not going to do anything from hate, lack of belief, apathy. Like, the hardest work literally is to be really honest and say, today, I am going to choose to believe that I can finish this day. I'm not going to think about the past.
Yeah.
When I try to, it's just got to be a no. I'm going to think about today. I'm going to remind myself each meal what I need to do. Like, you need to work hard on the daily thinking. And it will wear you out in the beginning. And that's okay, because you're already worn the fuck out as it is. So at least be worn out creating a new version of you.
It feels exhausting.
Yeah, but let me ask you this.
Yeah, I mean, it's
right now you don't look like you're super energetic with your hate train going on. I tell all of you, who do you want to be? Do you want to go to bed tired every night because you gave up on yourself and whipped yourself with your thinking all day long? Or do you want to go to bed tired every night trying to create the new version of you, changing every thought, arguing for your future? But when you want to go to the past, like, no, you know what we're going to do? We're going to think about who we want to be. I want to ask you this, Jackie. If you did lose 50 pounds, the 50-pound version of you, when she wakes up each day, and she's making her plan, what is her thought about the plan? Like, just her basic thought when she creates it?
I can do this. This looks good.
I can do this. This looks good. You're not thinking that right now. If you want to lose 50 pounds, you have to start looking at your plan and telling yourself, this looks good. I can do this. Like, you have to do that. Right now, you're doing like, well, I'm going to try. I don't really know, though. And then you allow yourself to go think about all the past and stuff. Your future you who loses 50 pounds is not doing that. That means Jackie of today, when that thinking tries to start up, she has to dismiss it. And it's like, no, we're thinking about today. We're thinking about what's ahead of us today, not what happened yesterday. When you want to look at it and talk apathetically about it out loud to your accountability group, you need to change your tone. You need to, like, actively do that. You have to say, like, all right, I'm wanting to say I'm going to try this, but I know that's not helpful. Here's what I know. I'm going to go through my entire day operating under the assumption, I can do this. This looks good. And when I look at my food, I'm not going to be like, I'm going to tell myself, this looks good. Whatever your future self thinks about when she's fixing to eat, you guys need to think about this stuff. You're the 50-pound version of you who loses her weight, and she sits down, and she's having whatever you like to eat. What do you like to eat?
We eat, eat a lot of eggs and like cheese and bread and
water. Okay, say you're going to have a grilled cheese sandwich. You like grilled cheese?
Salad. Yeah.
All right, we're having grilled cheese today.
Sure.
You sit down. What is the 50-pound version of you who's lost weight? When she sits down to eat a grilled cheese sandwich, what does she think?
She would never eat a grilled cheese sandwich.
But yes, she would. Why would she not eat a grilled cheese sandwich?
Well,
that's part of your problem. If future you is,
well, yeah,
doing a bunch of horse shit to, the only way you got there was by asshole diet techniques, we got to clean that up right now. That's why you're having a hard time. Like, look, I want you to pretend for a second that if you like grilled cheese sandwiches, future you is sitting down. She's made her plan for the day. She's got like, today's grilled cheese day. Yay. She's got it. She's sitting there with it. What is she thinking?
I mean, all I can think is she would not eat that. So
why is she not eating that? Tell me this. Stuff. Tell me, Jackie, why is she not eating grilled cheese sandwiches?
Because she's in love.
I can't hear. You got to repeat. Your connection is not good.
Oh, because she's gonna gain weight if she eats that.
Right? No, that is not what future you thinks when she's eating a grilled cheese sandwich. You know what she's thinking? I love that I can eat foods that I love anytime I want. I know how to plan for them. That's what future you is thinking. And that's your problem. Yeah. That's your problem with your plan today. You're still thinking about your foods in a very restrictive way. You need to really think about your future self. The reason why you're not running towards her is because she's not fun in your mind. In your mind, she's thin, but she's paid a heavy price to get there.
Yeah.
And that's going to unlock a lot for you. I want you to really think about, if I let go of my rules, seriously, if I lose 50 pounds, when I lose 50 pounds, this is how my future you rolls. And if it's like, if she is not drinking and not having grilled cheese sandwiches and doing all the things you love, you will never feel motivated to get there. Being small will not be enough to compensate for giving up your life. And you know that at a deep level. That's why your brain's not letting you go. We got to clean up who your future you is. You got to clean up this restriction mentality.
And I know that when I've been thin, I haven't been happy. Yeah. I mean, when I've been thin, I haven't been happy like that. So I know that that's true.
Yeah. So I think that's why we've got to, you need to do some work on the, did you do the future you workshop I did 2 weeks ago?
No, because we just came out of camp. I need to do that one and go back and do that one.
Okay. Well, did you do camp
in January.
I want you to go back through your future you stuff and your rules and things like that. And I want you to really look at them and ask myself, am I putting shit in here that's bullshit? Because if who you're creating is someone who's got a lot of crazy food rules and all this other stuff, and that's not what you ultimately want, you'll never be motivated now to do it. It will be full of starts and stops. Reversals, all kinds of stuff. I want you to truly think about all of you. When you think about the version of you who loses her weight, what does she think? The confident one, the one who has repaired her relationship with food. She's literally living the life you want, not the life you think you have to be thin. There's a very big difference between those two people. One of them is just the old diet life. One of them is like, no, this is literally the future you, the life that I want. Get that down. Then you'll be more motivated to go after her. Okay. I hope that was helpful, Jackie.
It was. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Let's see. Cassie, Brian.
Oh, hello.
Hello. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Let me get to a place where I can sit. I'm just on a walk.
Okay.
Sorry. Oh. First coaching call.
All right. What so, are you coaching on?
I guess I am having a lot of thoughts about, I guess, kind of being a parent, or I guess how my husband is kind of responding to our blended family. So my oldest son is expecting a baby.
Okay.
And of course, with us having kind of all the COVID restrictions and being several states away, I'm already kind of feeling guilty about not being able to see him as quickly or as often as I would like. And then yesterday, as we were trying to kind of come up with the game plan for travel for the year, he kind of made it clear that he wasn't overly thrilled about his decision to be having a child. And I was able to tell myself, these are just words, these are his thoughts. But at the same time, you know, he also has kids from a previous relationship. And there's a part of me that was thinking, he wouldn't be acting this way if these were his kids. Like, he's just doing this because of me, or because it's my kid.
Yeah.
Or not his biological kid. So.
And why is that?
I'm trying to kind of, well, I guess it is only a problem because I am allowing it to kind of make me reflect on my marriage. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but.
Yeah. What if this isn't a bad, I mean, what if it's not a bad thing? What if it's having you go through and think about your marriage, be honest with yourself about the parts you love, the parts you don't, and you get to just figure out what you really want for this relationship.
Yeah. That's true.
I think it's a lot easier than sitting around questioning, like, now, would he really act this way if it was his kids and blah, blah, blah? It's like, this is just your invitation for you to like think about just your marriage as a whole and what you think about your marriage, not so much what he's thinking, but what are your thoughts? What are the parts you love? Yeah. What are the parts you don't? And really understand why you love them and then why you don't. Because then you'll get to go to work on your thinking around all of it.
Yeah.
And you'll get a benefit. Do what?
Independent of him.
Yeah.
It's
well, that's the thing with all relationships.
I have to have an opinion.
Yeah. Well, and everybody does. I mean, the way relationships work is you have a thought bubble over here. They have a thought bubble over here, and the relationship's in the middle. Everybody's just thinking about it.
Yeah.
The only thought bubble you get to control is your own.
For sure.
And so like, going through and figuring out, that's where the relationship happens. That's where all the feelings are created, with your own thinking that goes on. Everything your husband says, everything your husband does and stuff is just an opportunity for you to have a thought about it. And you need to just look at all of them and listen for what you do think and stuff, and not make it mean something bad about you. Don't even make it mean something bad about him. Just understand your thought first.
Yeah.
And why you think that. Let's, can I just address this feeling guilty that you can't go see your son? Can we just like decide that's maybe your brain just acting like an asshole? I mean, do you really need to feel guilty about it?
No.
No. Here's what you probably need to feel. A little sad you can't be there. And be okay with that. but you don't have to beat yourself up over it.
Just what I needed to hear.
Okay. Well, enjoy your sunny walk, your weather. I don't know where you're at, but it looks hella better than what I'm looking at.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it.
Helen Langan. Hey, let's unmute you. There you go.
Hello. How are you?
Good. This is my daughter.
Hello, daughter.
I'm multitasking. I've been exercising while watching you today.
That's all right.
Okay. So I wanted to talk. I have been in the tribe since April of 2019. Mm-hmm. And I've lost, at the highest point, I'd lost about 30 pounds. And the first 15 I did from like April till, it was April of 2019. I did that until January 2020. And in early January 2020, I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. Stage 3 breast cancer. And so that was just at the very beginning of 2020. And I lost another 15 in the first 6 months, just almost like in pure fear, because I was trying to eat in a way that would fight cancer. So I just cleaned up my diet. I cut dairy, I cut sugar, I cut processed foods. So it was very easy to lose weight. But about halfway through, I started bringing those things back in and I gained about another 8. So in any case, I'm down, you know, about 25 given the day. And I have really tried since I went to camp to like really, really recommit to like a healthy journey all the way down. And I'm wanting to get some coaching on my why.
Okay.
And so one of the things I write every day, and I'm really proud of myself because I've like this year, I mean, I still lost like a net of about 8 pounds through like chemo, radiation, a mastectomy, more chemo, like you name it, you know, hormone therapy. They would put me into menopause, like all these things. And I still lost some weight. So that was a positive, you know, and then of course we had COVID and kids home and all that business. But what I'm trying to do, so my why sort of has centered around preventing a recurrence of cancer, living a long, healthy life. Mm-hmm. I need to have a big reconstruction surgery, and my plastic surgeon would like me to lose another 30 pounds before. And I'm like terrified of the surgery because they'll do like a tummy tuck and use my abdominal tissue to rebuild my breasts. And so I'm kind of trying to use that as a why, like to have a successful reconstruction surgery to prevent a recurrence of cancer and to live a long, healthy life. But I think some of the reason that I'm a little bit not sure if that's the best way to like sort of motivate myself is that a lot of it comes from a place of fear.
Well, I think what you want to do is you want to clean up the fear you have, like figure out why you're afraid and mm-hmm. work on your thinking around that. Like, why are you afraid of the surgery? Because that's what's going to happen. It's like, This is the thing about a why. If underneath a why is terror and fear, you won't want to use the why. And the whole point of having a why is so that we can use it in the moments that we need it to motivate us and stuff. But if your why has a bunch of fear laced underneath it, it's not going to be motivating.
Right.
And it's always going to tap on feelings and insecurities that are just not going to be helpful and useful.
Correct.
So, you know, it's... What I would do, especially since you know that you are scared, is I would just work on why are you so scared about the reconstruction surgery?
Yeah.
And what's scary about it?
I mean, the biggest fear that I have is that something goes terribly wrong and I don't make it out of the surgery. And I've got my 3-year-old and a 7-year-old, you know.
Yeah. Well, this, like what you're experiencing right now, is exactly why is never going to work. Like trying to say like, well, I'm going to have this reconstruction surgery and this is why I'm not going to eat a donut right now. But if underneath it is like, oh my God, I'm going to die in this surgery. And like your brain will say like, you should really eat that donut. You're terrified of death.
Right.
That's how we'll get translated.
Right. Exactly. And well, and then the other fear is just the recovery. Cause it's a, and I, when I did, my, when I had my mastectomy, I had like some issues with like the infection. I had to get in there for a second surgery to do a little bit of like a revision. So, you know, I'm already thinking like, oh my gosh, this is like three times bigger. Cause there's like three different surgical sites. And I'm just like worried that it's going to be this terrible recovery and I'm never going to feel the same. You know?
So here's one of the things to do. This is always helpful, is your brain is doing what it's naturally supposed to do, which is come up with all the negatives. It's supposed to be coming up with all the scary piece. Go through and tell yourself why it will be fine, why it will be amazing.
Yeah.
All the benefits, all the reasons why you don't need to worry about dying. Like, you know, like go through and give your brain evidence that it's allowed to calm down, that it is allowed to, you know,
not be afraid.
To be soothed and stuff. And a lot of us don't do that. When we tap on fear, mm-hmm. our brain just starts going to, all right, we've hit fear. So now let's like go crazy on figuring out like, what if this happens? And what if this happens? And what if this happens? You can use the same thing. It's like, what if this happens? But what if this also happens?
All these other
like,
wonderful things.
Yeah. And you just kind of like keep ping ponging it back and forth. Right. Cause there's always a risk of dying with surgeries, but there's also tons of people every single day live through them.
Right.
You're like, and your brain is like, no, you'll be the one, you'll be that one. And it's like, or I could be one of the million who make it just fine. You know, like you have to like give yourself all of that because it's going to catastrophize.
That's right.
And what all's in your control? It's like, you know, especially when it comes to a surgery and stuff, like telling yourself all the things that are totally in your control to have you going in healthy and prepared and, you know, the best doctor and just, you know, whatever you need to tell yourself. But that will help you if you want to use that as a why, for sure. I would just, if you know you're going to have the surgery, I would do this work no matter what.
Okay.
You know,
and then in terms of getting to a why, putting that aside, like working through that on its own, separate from the why, and then is in the same vein, like, so the other kind of thing in the why is wanting to live to see my kids grow up.
Yeah.
But that's also like got a, like a underlying kind of fear based.
And what is that? Like, what are you afraid? Like when, cause you know, for a lot of people, when they say, man, I am losing this weight because I'm going to see my kids like all the way to 100. Right. And for them, it's motivating. For you, it makes you cry. But that's because you have a thought about it. What is your thought about that?
My thought is if I don't, I won't. So it's like, you know, like even in the day-to-day, if I don't eat super, super healthy, I sort of have this whole thing about my being overweight contributed to the breast cancer. And then maybe I won't be able to fight it.
This is what I want you to work on. If you don't work on anything, you need to release the guilt and the shame and the fear that you caused this. It's not helpful. Yeah. It doesn't even matter. It literally does. I want you to tell me, does it even matter?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
The only thing that matters is who you're becoming.
Right. Right.
How you're going to the version of Helen, the next version of Helen. That's all that matters. And you need to remind yourself that of 1,000 times. You need to write. Have you ever done any of the rewriting your past work here?
I haven't. I've done a lot of writing, but I haven't done that.
Also, for all of you in March, when we do the journaling thing, we're doing a module on rewriting the past, but we have a rewriting the past worksheet right now with a coaching call. It's if you go to the bonus courses inside PMP Tribe. Workbooks and More, I think is the name of it, or Worksheets and More. If you go to I think it's around the bottom, the rewriting your past is there. You need to rewrite your past about your weight and your health. I had to do this with Logan because I went through a period, I don't remember how long ago it was, but probably like 4 or 5 years ago, where I blamed myself for his autism. Because I was so unhealthy while he was pregnant. Or I was pregnant and I ate like McDonald's, that number two supersized, and that McFlurry went down every day for lunch. And then it was Greek food or Burger King for dinner. I mean, I just, you know, I'm just like my mama. I'm a junk food queen. Like, we always loved our junk food. We loved fast food. Like, a drive-through was, you know, just amazing. And some research came out about autism being triggered in the womb from the mother. And I went down the toilet. I mean, just all the things. And I rewrote my past story around all of it and forgave myself for, you know, like, it's okay that you didn't have the best pregnancy. You know, it set you up to do these things and blah, blah, blah. And I just told myself, no one will ever really know what triggered it. And that's okay. I don't need to know what triggered something to make the best of it. That's what helped me. So yeah. I would do that because, you know, you've got a long road ahead of you, probably a really healthy one at that. And you ain't, we do not want to drag around a 10 pound shackle of shame the rest of your life.
Right. Yeah. And yeah. And it's funny because most days, like, I feel like this journey, I've had like a really positive attitude. I've worked through a lot of it and for them, you know, but there are these things that kind of have hung on. And definitely the thing about that my history of being overweight contributed to it.
That just has to go away.
Yeah. I'll work on that.
Like, we're here now.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I mean, there's research for all the things, but there are plenty, like, this is what I would remind myself. There are also plenty of women who have been healthy and naturally thin. And guess what?
Right.
They got breast cancer too.
Right.
You know, so I would just hang on to the idea that it doesn't matter. I didn't do this to myself. I just have breast cancer and I have a whole life ahead of me. Mm-hmm. What am I going to make it all be like?
Right.
It's good. Hey, I got your Marco Polo, by the way. I don't know if everybody knows, but this is Marco Polo fame up here. She's actually part of the, I guess you're part of the development team and stuff for Marco Polo.
Yeah.
Like, go ahead. Head
of PR and communications. Yeah.
For Marco. Yes. All of you. Like, we should all thank her. I always tell her that we're like the super user.
You guys are. The tribe is amazing. I love that it's used so much.
But I did get your message. I want you to email what you said to me. Okay. I want you to email it to support@pnptribe.com and put attention Sarah Gross. I want you to hook up with her. She's our new digital marketer. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah. And no pressure either, just so you know.
But Sarah, I keep looking at every morning. I like, as I'm Marco Poloing, I've listened to it and I'm like, ooh, I got to get on this. And even Emily's been tagging me an email saying, you need to get on this. It's good that you got on the call today.
Thank you. Two birds with one stone. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Bye bye. All right, everyone. That's it for today. I'm going to get out of here. The women of color. Your call begins at 2:00. So if you are a woman of color on this call, we'll start coaching at 2:00. I'm going to go to the bathroom, eat some lunch, and then get back for the call. Y'all have a good week. I'll see y'all soon, y'all. Bye.